Welcome to the Jesus Sisters Podcast. It's not a coincidence you're here.
We thank you for joining us on this journey to seek a close and personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome back, Jesus sisters and brothers. We are so excited that you're here to join us today. We have what we think is a great message from our Lord and Savior, and we're hoping that you'll agree and you'll get some nuggets to take with you and some great scripture to take forward in your life. And we're going to be talking today about to whom much is given. And much is expected. And so I'm just excited to get going. And I got my Jesus sister, Allie Plaster, all the way in Tampa, Florida, here with me. Allie, you there, girl?
Whoop. Hey, my Jesus sister.
Hey, my Jesus sister. I was here.
Weapon for the kingdom of the Lord.
You're so funny. That's my girl. That's my girl. I'm hearing some weird feedback. Audio issues. Are you hearing any of that on your end?
I am not.
Okay. Well, let's just.
So hopefully,
fingers crossed.
It's not either.
That's great.
Lord, no technical difficulties in Jesus' name.
I absolutely. You know what? We're adding that to the prayer today. Like that is happening because I just don't have. We don't have time to re-record. We're busy ladies. Well, let's get started in prayer. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you fill the room, that we can feel your spirit, Lord, that we feel your presence, and that any words that we share with our Jesus brothers and sisters are of you, Lord. Empty us of us, ourselves. Allow us to share your message in the scripture in the way that you intended, Lord. And we just ask that all of our listeners, their ears are open to hear and their hearts are open to receive. And we ask for zero technical difficulties, too. We're just going to throw that one out there. And we thank you for your love and your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's get rocking and rolling. We're going to be talking about...
Yeah, I love...
Go ahead.
I love what you chose for our topic for... today's episode. And I literally just thought about, you know, because we're going to be talking about to whom much is given, much is required, but also talking about, you know, we are given gifts and abilities. And I was like, it's like the Lord gives us our own little talent show to be like, here's our abilities. Here's our gifts. Let's share them. Let's shine that light. So anyway, squirrel.
Squirrel. No, I love it. It's our own little talent show. I like thinking of it that way. Yeah, you know, it's so important because we're all just looking to feel loved and we're looking to feel like we belong. And we're looking for a lot of times we look for it in the wrong places, but just acknowledgement, that we are seen and heard. But we just also have to remember that God gives us all our own special gifts and, those gifts, when he gives them to us, he doesn't want them to just store them away and not use them. He wants us to use those gifts to shine his light. And I think just really embracing like who we are and who God created us to be is beautiful and it's powerful. And so I'm just hoping that with all the scripture that we share again, that, you know, it will just speak to us. And then, you know, and taking those gifts in and not just kind of using them, really using them for your kingdom work. And that's what it's all about is the kingdom work, is bringing more people to Jesus, helping them walk their walk and just live their life according to God's plan. And so just keeping the perspective of heaven and about our lives, when we think about our lives and how we plan and then how we reflect on our lives and our callings. So everything is about heaven and our godly walk.
Yeah, I love that. It's about, I think we don't always realize that we have these abilities, but God gives us all abilities and special talents. And, you know, it's so that God can be glorified. He's glorified when we use our God-given talents, and it's to build the kingdom and, and to edify him and bring people far, revive people. I mean, he gave us the gifts for a purpose. And so we're hoping that the scriptures are going to speak to you so that you feel equipped to share your gift, because it's not meant to keep to yourself. It's meant to be shared.
Oh, amen to that. That's the truth, right? It's all about sharing it and not keeping it to yourself. Well, I know we've talked about spiritual gifts before, but my thinking on this one is those gifts that were given, and again, keeping the perspective of heaven and our relationship with God in all of this, but like when God gives us something, even if it feels like sometimes like it's too much, he gives it to us knowing that we can complete whatever the task is. The key is for me, though, when in thinking about my life and thinking about how I'm so blessed, busy, or busy, blessed, whichever way you want to say it, I feel like God is using all of my gifts and all of my talents right now. And sometimes it's like I'm using them all so much that I do feel like I can be overwhelmed. And so for me, the key is to really think about like God gave me this gift and he gave me this opportunity, and that he will equip me and that he will carry me. Like in times like today, we're recording. It's a Saturday. It's been a long week. We have busy lives and families and loved ones. And at the end of the day on Friday, it's like, well, we're recording tomorrow. And sometimes it's like, oh, I'm so tired, right? But I just feel like when I get tired like that, I have to really dig into my prayer. And so I spent a lot of time this morning like, Lord, please equip me. Please, Holy Spirit, come alongside me, because I need you to carry me through this time, because I know you gave me these gifts. I know you gave me these talents. I know you gave me these opportunities, and I don't want to waste them, and I want to use them for your good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And a lot of times it's not according to our faith. It's according to his faith. And I think reading through some of these scriptures, it's like our gifts do differ. It differs in, you know, power, and somebody's got wisdom or graciousness or hospitality. It can differ in effectiveness. So I think it's just important to realize that he does give us individual gifts so that we can all come together. And it's like we're all one family. And when we are working towards that, not keeping it to ourselves and sharing it, I think that's when we see miracles, revival. We can push past those feelings of, oh, I feel tired. It makes us
right
take the focus off of ourselves and put the focus back on Jesus and what we're here to do. Because the devil will love to tell you you don't have enough time, but you know, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. He's going to equip us. We might not be able to do it in our strength, but in his strength, we can do it all.
Yes, I love that so much. Amen. Well, should we get started with some scripture?
I think so.
Okay. All right. I'm going to start us off with Luke 12, verse 48. And it says, but someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. And I feel like that's my motto in life right now. It's like it's like the anthem song that's like playing in the background, and I didn't even pick the song, but it's like, well, this is happening. This is my jam. All right, let's keep going. But I feel like God has given me so much, and he's given me these gifts and talents, and he's taken his time growing them in me, refining me, that constant process of refinement, giving me opportunities to refine and in my work and through my church and just through my friends. And now we're getting to a point where, I mean, I'm never going to be a finished product for sure, but like, I feel like I'm getting closer to like where I'm supposed to be and why he gave me these gifts and why he gave me these talents. And I can't now at the point where like, I'm finally starting to get a little shiny like, you know, where he's finally starting to like shine, buff me up and get me a little shiny. I can't just go, oh, well, I'm too tired. I don't have time now. So mm-hmm. it's really important that he gave me all these gifts. He gave me all these talents, and I'm going to be required to use them to share his word and his message. And so this scripture is just, I feel like it's my whole life right now. It speaks to everything that's happening in my life.
Well, and it's true. It's not trying to say like, oh, it's going to be easy. It's saying right. like, you know, to whom much is given, much is going to be required. And as we, you know, advance in our walk, we know that it's not by our own efforts. It's, you know, Holy Spirit equipping us to carry out the will of God for our lives. And it's not in our own willpower, but it's in his power that gives us the ability to accomplish what he has set forth on our path. And although sometimes things get busy or hard, we somehow always manage to get through it. And it's glory to God. He equips us. And I do want to piggyback off of your scripture. This is my longer scripture, but you can't cut it off. You want to get the full context of it to know really what's happening and why we all do have these gifts, and we have the choice. It's within our own will to say, are we going to share it? Are we going to shine our light? What are we going to do with what God has given us? And it also shows what happens when we don't use the gifts. So this is Matthew 25:14-29. For it is like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you had entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away.
So powerful.
And that is like, I'm like, so I'm powerful. Not going to bury my talents.
Get it together.
I'm not going to bury my talents. I want to give Jesus back the return on his investment.
Yes.
I don't want to have that conversation. But we can also see that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. He said, according to, you know, our ability, but then he also equips us with our own gifts, and that he instills that in us because he created us for a plan and a purpose in his kingdom. So if God doesn't give us more than we can handle, then there is no reason for us not to accomplish his will for our lives.
I love it so much. Well, and I love that, you know, there's no shame in the fact that one was given 2 talents and he still brought back only 2 more talents. It wasn't like, well, you didn't bring me back 5 like the other person. It was like he mm-hmm. was giving based on what each one of them could handle. And I mean, I've read this scripture many times, but it's just speaking like, it's like piercing my heart right now. I'm like, oh, I hear you. I hear you, Lauren. Like, I got you. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Like, it makes it, it just reminds me that he will carry me. Like, the word busy, I need to remove the word busy from my vocabulary, I think, because I should just be focusing on the fact that, like, I'm doing the Lord's work. Like, yes, this is outside of my 9-to-5 job, if you can consider that a 9-to-5 job. This is outside my regular job. I'm doing the Lord's work, and that doesn't necessarily qualify me as busy. That he's going to equip me and he will carry me.
Absolutely. He equips us with everything we need, the gifts, the time, people, ability, resources. He invests in us and wants us to invest in him and expects a return on his investment, as we can see in that scripture. So it's not how much we have, but how we use what we have. And we all have free will. So we are responsible to take action and use our God-given talents and abilities. So if we're obeying, and you know, we don't want to end up like the wicked servant who only thought of himself and was selfish and made excuses. You know, we don't want to squander our gifts, because we can see in this parable the consequences of doing so. What he did have was taken away from him. And we know that one day Jesus is coming back, and he's going to ask each and every one of us, what did you do with the time and the gifts that I gave you? What did you do with your life? And, you know, I want to be able to, for him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. God rewards our due diligence and our faithfulness and our obedience. So we need to have that heart of God to complete the work that he set before us, so that we can bear fruit for God's kingdom.
You know, in hearing you talk, I just felt totally prompted to say that, like, if someone's listening to this episode and they're like, that's great, Laurel and Allie, but, like, I don't know what my talents are. I don't know what the talents are that God gave to me. I would say, it obviously you can pray about it. That's number one, is always whenever we're questioning, just pray and pray for the Lord to reveal it. But oftentimes prayer alongside action is really, really powerful. And I would say just get out and start serving others. As you're serving others, I think it will reveal it to you, and God will reveal it to you as well. I believe if we're praying with a whole heart, with our pure hearts, that we just really want to know what our talents are and how God wants us to use them, I think he'll respond. I believe he will respond to us. But I think sometimes we get caught in just, like, praying and sitting around and waiting, but, like, get out and serve others. And through service, you know, I feel like we get to connect with other people and see, and it will be revealed to you how you should get out there and serve others. So thank you for pulling that scripture, Allie. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And faith comes by hearing the word. So it's like getting in the word to figure out, you know, reading about the gifts and the talents and figuring out, like, hey, that might be me. And like you said, exercising and serving those, then it kind of just starts to come to you. Or somebody might say, like, hey, did you know that? I was really, you know, taken back by this. And then, you know, then you can kind of start to figure those things out. But it's not always on our own understanding. We lean on his understanding. And when we're seeking him and reading the scripture, it's going to speak to us. Holy Spirit is going to fill us to know what our will is. Like, God doesn't leave us hanging like that. And that's why I love 2 Corinthians 2:14-17. It says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one an aroma from death to death, and to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. And I think it's just as simple as that, being humble, sincere. We know that God is going to equip us and send his Holy Spirit to give us the adequacy we need, and, you know, to humble us, and God's going to give us the rest. And I like how this also says, like, peddling God's word. That made me stop and think I think some people do in this day and age, and that does deter people from wanting to hear. And you're not always, you know, we're not God. Every time we share the gospel, it's not like people are going to have, you know, an epiphany where the clouds are going to open. A lot of times it's just planting those seeds and letting God do the rest, but right. also just having that sincerity, you know, and not trying to peddle God's message for a means of gains or money. You know, we can see that they were doing that. We need to have care and insight and understanding. We should never be preaching for our own gain. Because, you know, non-believers are watching us. And it also says that sometimes the good news is going to be repulsive to those who are perishing, but it is a sweet life-giving aroma to some. So not everyone you encounter is going to accept the gospel, but that doesn't stop us from planting those seeds. And then, you know, God will do the work, the rest of the work.
You totally said seeds on purpose. You knew I was going to bring up the mustard seeds. It was like you're reading my mind, thinking about our Facebook post the other day where it was like, I found it on someone else's page and it was like, I have a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it. Like, we're going to plant those seeds.
That made my day.
Throwing really out them seeds, Allie, throwing up them seeds. In kind of piggybacking off of what we were talking about earlier in terms of like, serving and getting out there and doing things for others and shining our light. I have a scripture from Matthew. It's five, actually multiple verses. It's 5:14-16. And it says, you are a light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And I just love that. Ooh. Because, yeah, it's like, and if you think your light is using your gifts and your talents, no one lights a lamp. No one should be using their gifts and talents and then put them under a basket. Instead, mm-hmm. place it on a stand for everyone to see. Use it to spread the good word. Spread the gospel. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I love it because I think it really just is another reminder of how we are supposed to shine our light as Christians. Because sometimes it's like, well, what do you mean shine your light? But shining our light is like living by the word, living, trying to live as righteous and pure of a life as we possibly can. But again, also sharing your talents with the world to bring others to Jesus. And no one talent is more important than another. So if you're thinking mm-hmm. like I did another spiritual gifts thing, just in case my spiritual gifts changed, you know, since the last time I did them in a year, just in case. And of course they didn't. But anyway,
they didn't. Okay. I was going to ask, did they?
No, they didn't. They didn't change. They're pretty much the same. But anyways, in thinking about that and looking at all of them, you know, they're nowhere. Is it like, well, one, at least I'm not aware of this and maybe you are, but nowhere does it say like, well, this spiritual gift is better than this spiritual gift and this one's better than this one. It's really about like God equips us all differently. And the key is just that we're using those gifts to shine his light. And that's really what it is at the end of the day. So sometimes people are like, oh, well, my spiritual gift is only this. Like, no, do not live in that space. As my friend Dina would say, don't live in your smallness, live in your greatness, that God's gifts are all great and embrace it as such.
Yeah. And let me tell you, there in the kingdom of God, there is no unemployment. God has enough work for everyone. There is plenty to go around. So, you know, we just can't, you know, sit around and watch, you know, while we got to take action and do the will that he set for us. That's why I like Luke 10:2, it lets you know that, you know, the work is plenty. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And of course, this is speaking to the disciples and some of their, you know, what they were going out and doing. I mean, he was saying, I'm sending you out as a lamb amongst wolves. Like, the work is plenty. It's not going to always be easy work. As a matter of fact, I think it's more likely going to be hard work. We hear about
for sure
sharing in the sufferings, the time. It is a sacrifice. You know, our walk with God, it giving our lives to Jesus, it's a service. And I believe that we find our true purpose in this life when we are serving Jesus. It is a true lifelong commitment. And so, I mean, there's just a lot in there, but it also lets you know, like, you're not, it's God that's going to do the work, but he sends us out. And there's also, he lets us know, like, not everybody's going to be receptive all the time. So you dust your feet off, but to the ones that are receptive, you know, that heal, that speak life, scripture, whatever your gift is, you know, but don't carry that with you. Dust the dirt off your feet if, you know, somebody's not receptive, and keep it moving.
That makes me
let them know the kingdom of God has come near. I mean, that really resonates with me. I mean, I think I've heard of people's encounters with hell, and I've never had that. That's just, you know, I guess, speculation. But I've heard that, you know, to non-believers who do perish and go to hell, people say that they're going to be aware. It's not like we're going to be different people. We're still going to have our spirit, and we're going to know all those times that people tried to reach us, that God was using his people, because he doesn't wish for anybody to perish. He wants the reward of his suffering. He wants us all to come to him and to be in his kingdom. And to, you know that some people are perishing, and they're going to know that the kingdom of God has come near them, and every good thing that they experienced in their life came from the Lord. And, you know, hell is so horrible because it's void of everything that's the Lord of Jesus. And that's love, peace, light, joy, all the gifts of the Spirit. It's void of that. Who wants to do? And that should, you know, prompt us as believers who've received this wonderful gift to say, we have a mission. We want anybody to go there. We want everybody to know Jesus and know him personally so that they can be convicted and have that encounter that we've had and know that he is the savior of this world, and he is going to see us to eternity. And that is our true end game. That's where it really begins, is eternity with Jesus.
Girl, you be preaching over there. You be preaching in Tampa, Florida. I'm like, let me hold on. Let me take some notes. Let me write this down. I was like, what's happening right now? She got struck by the Holy Spirit. She's preaching it. Oh my gosh, that was awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. Actually, that leads perfectly into, as you were preaching, this just kept staring at me on my screen, and it's Hebrews 12:1, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what she's talking about right there. Yep.
Boom.
Just get
Boom.
Right with the Lord and run with endurance. So I love that scripture. I don't really know that I have really read that closely. And so I really loved hearing your interpretation of that and some additional perspective on that. So thanks for sharing that.
Oh, of course. I'm loving it.
She said,
this.
Of course. Of course. I'm
like, it's not today. Me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's scripture. It ain't me. I like to piggyback off of that. I like Ephesians 5:16-17. It says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And it's like, we do live in a fallen world. Sin is a snare and it is enticing. Like, let's not act like, oh, it's like sin. It's bad, but it's enticing. And so we must have that sense of urgency because we don't know when he will return. And we do live in that fallen world. So we must keep shining his light. We must be vigilant and act wisely. And we must seize the opportunities that we are given to do good whenever possible. I'm just reading this off the top of my head. So I'm probably not going to read it word for word what the scripture is, but I can't remember exactly what it says, but it's like, you know, seizing those opportunities because we never know when we're entertaining angels. I know I butchered that, so I do apologize, but I think about that all the time, you know, not squandering these opportunities because you don't know if somebody that you pass on the road is an angel that, you know, God is just kind of sending there to, you know, flex our God-given talents and purpose to shine his light. I think that knowing those things, it's important to know those facts because it just is what it is.
I love it. I love that I just feel like we both had even just a little different take on this episode. And I really was like internalizing this for myself personally, like feeling overwhelmed and like there's just so much happening, but I feel like God's given me so much and I really want to just take it and use it. But I really love the scripture that you have and the message that you have to share with others about just about what this looks like and just using, everyone has to use what God's given them and again, not to squander it away. So I love that. I just, in thinking about squandering, I also think about, you know, as you're on this journey, we have to be really careful who we surround ourselves with, because mm-hmm. if we don't have other godly friends and people in our life, when we're talking about, oh, well, I'm doing the Lord's work on Saturday, and everyone else is like, well, it's Saturday, it's your day, you should be able to take that off. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing the Lord's work. It's not really like that. You know, we have to surround ourselves with wise, godly people. And so Proverbs 13:20 reminds us of that. So when you're on your journey, just, you want to walk with the wise. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. So as you're trying to do the Lord's work, you're always going to come up against those that just don't understand it. More than likely, mm-hmm. they'll probably be non-believers. And so it's really important, again, to get your crew of people, get your inner circle, have people in your life that can pray for you while you're really just, you know, trying to figure out what your talents are and while you're growing in them, and have them pray for you to see them and to fully grow into them to do God's work. It's just important that we're constantly thinking about who we're surrounding ourselves with.
I fully agree. It's like, find your iron, because yes. the world is full of wolves and iron does sharpen iron. And as we've been talking about in this episode, it's not, the work isn't easy. A lot of times you might be rejected and persecuted for his name's sake. And so it's in what we had said, sometimes the good news is a stench to others that are perishing. But to others, it's going to be that life-giving aroma. And so you have to take those chances. You have to take those risks because God is going to accomplish his will. It's not going to return void. So I think that's really important too. And I love Luke 18:29-30 that says, and he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life. Like, he's Ooh. Letting you know, like, he pays you back. Like, that's the God we serve. He doesn't say like, oh, you know, you're going to do this task and I'm going to pay you half. He's going to pay you more than you're worth Like, I mean, love it. Not that, I mean, you're worth, you know, much to the Lord. I don't want that to be taken out of context, but you know, he's always going to give above and beyond what we could ever possibly imagine. So it's worth it. But,
well, I
did
want
to follow in.
Sorry. Oh, I'm before you go on. That really resonated with me as well, because it's like, so oftentimes we're busy and our time is away from our families. Sometimes there's some of that guilt, but he directly says in this scripture, if it's for the sake of the kingdom of God, that you are going to receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come. So like, it's, yes, it's a sacrifice, but it's an even larger sacrifice than other sacrifices, if that makes any sense. Like, and you will be rewarded for that. So that makes me feel a little bit better. I'm like, okay, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
And now I'm gonna go to kind of, cause I mean, the work is what we said. I'm not trying, I guess my goal is to always not be, to be truthful about this mission. When Jesus was here, he was the Son of God. He was perfect. Look at all the things he did. He encountered the religious Pharisees who had studied the Old Testament and those scriptures, and they couldn't even recognize that they were in the presence of God at that point. Yeah. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want to preach something that isn't the truth, that it's not going to be hard work, that there is a requirement, but what the reward is far outweighs our sufferings or that rejection or persecution. So we can see in Matthew 16, 24 to 27, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds.
Love it. And take up, like, your cross, people. Take up your cross.
Yeah. And our disciples that we have to go off of, they were persecuted. They were put to death. And Jesus knew that that was going to happen. I mean, his cousin John was beheaded during his, you know, ministry in this, in, you know, his life on earth. So he knew these things were going to happen. But, you know, it is that lifelong commitment. It's real discipleship. It's, you know, pledging our beings, our souls to him. And so it's not always going to be, you know, picking up our cross and denying ourselves is very hard to do. And that's why we need to stay connected, because we cannot deny ourselves in our own strength. It has to be through him. And it has to be knowing those things and knowing what truly it is. Cause if we're always like, oh, Jesus is going to bring me happiness, that's in abundance and all these things, that's looking at ourselves. And that is not what Jesus' ministry was about. He was about helping others. He was self-sacrificing because he loved.
Yes.
And that's true love. It's not looking at ourselves. But it's also knowing, like, that there could be physical death, pain, discomfort, all these things that you encounter, you know, sometimes doing walk, but we don't want to turn internally, because when we turn internally and how hard things are, then we start to spiritually die, I think. And so it's just very important to be real, but also know, like, that the work is hard, and it's because of the reward. The reward is so huge. You can't get that kind of reward without, you know, rolling up your sleeves, picking up that cross.
Yeah, so I was going to share Ephesians 2:10, and this is, I think, in alignment with some of the things that you were saying, Allie, and it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ, so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. And so I just think it's important that we, and with everything that you were saying, that, you know, God already knew what our journey was going to be. He already knew what was planned for us long ago. And so that even if it is challenging, he will equip us. And I know we've said that before, but he will equip us for whatever that journey is. But just know that whatever your journey is exactly where you're supposed to be. And it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Even if it's complete blessings and overwhelming abundance, or if you're just struggling, just digging into the idea that we are God's masterpiece, and that we need to just to continue to use those gifts to shine his light and share his message.
Absolutely. And I think it's, you know, something that I always try, and easier said than done, because we live in this world, but always having that eternal mindset. We're here, if we're lucky, for 75 years, but eternity is forever. So that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. Like, what does it gain you if you get the whole world, but you forfeit your soul? Like, what price is worthy of a soul? Nothing. There's nothing that's worth that. So it's like, you know, just having that mindset, I think, is very important when you are struggling or going through we go through hills and valleys. That's just the way that it is. And so these are the promises that we hold on to when we're in those hills, or I mean, in those valleys.
Preach, girl. I know you got a bunch of scripture, so I'm going to let you go ahead and dig into your scripture, because I only have one left. So I want to give you that opportunity to share what God put on your heart.
So 2 Peter 1:10-11, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. So that's just saying, like, be diligent. Don't be complacent. We're not saved by works, but that doesn't mean that we grow weary in well-doing and we can just live however we please. We need to be growing and continuing to learn and develop our gifts and ability and exercising our gifts. That shows that we're called by God and being led by God. So when we don't do those things, I think we can be led astray and fall into those pleasure-filled sins. So, and it just gives us that reassurance that Jesus is going to abundantly supply us with what we need to get through this life.
Yes. Yes. So true. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. And then, I did want to speak to, just to kind of wrap that up, because I know sometimes I can, I got to preach the truth and say things that sometimes it's not, all sunshine and rainbows, and sounds like, I think a lot of times we're like, oh, what benefit of this is for me, but that's just not Christianity. But there is, it's my life is blessed because of, because of Jesus. So I do want to point that out. But it says, 1 Peter 3:13-18, for who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit.
I love that. But even you, if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, are blessed. So again, we know we're going to have trials and tribulations, but if you are living in God's will and you are walking the walk that he set before you, I mean, you will be blessed. You might not see it in the moment, and that's fine, because that's a real thing. But I think it's important that we just recognize that every single moment that God puts before us is for his purpose and his reasoning. It's that growing, it's that refining. You were talking about iron sharpening iron, and that's in terms of friendships, but God is constantly refining us, constantly refining us, and so that we can really shine his light in the best possible way for him.
Yeah. And then I'll bring it with some more of our gifts to get us pumped up to exercise those gifts. Romans 12:6 and 8, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So it's like sometimes like just giving that cheerful word, you might not think that that's a gift. A lot of times people think that prophecy is like telling of the future. Sometimes prophecy is just reading scripture, giving that word that God has placed on your heart. Like that can be prophecy too. And I think I think God gives us all words. He doesn't just, when we seek, behold, he stands at the door and knocks. He will give you a word, and he wants to help others, and he wants to use you. So don't think that you can't have your own prophecy to share with somebody who might be far from Christ or you know, just needs that touch that, you know, we all need, or that iron. That can definitely be you. And I think what we read in scripture is that we are like one of Laurel's gifts is hospitality. So it's like something, but God will equip you sometimes with something that you might not even think is a gift, because in that moment, that is what needs to be shown for somebody. And God will give you that gift right in that moment. It's not like you already have to have the gift. It's like he, as we seek him, he will provide. God is a provider.
Absolutely. And by the way, I still can't believe hospitality is a spiritual gift. I was like, well, that's sweet. Just kind of how I am, gift. But I didn't.
I think people who are listening are like, no, it is, because some people are very introverted. They don't want to open up their homes. It can be work. It can be, and Laurel
always work. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, she's always opening her. She'll meet. I mean, Laurel can make friends anywhere she goes. She's just so giving with herself, her time, her, you know, home. She's like, I need this. She's like, I got it.
I think a lot of people
aren't like that, you know, and that's why God gives us each different talent or gifts, because not everybody is the same, and we all need to come together and make just this. I look at it like a quilt almost.
Yes.
You know, so.
You're so sweet. Thank you, Allie. Yeah, he does give me, it's so interesting. I've been thinking about this a lot lately after not being in the classroom. When I was a teacher in the classroom, just having the ability to really just kind of sense where my students are. And I don't mean like necessarily in their learning. Yes, in their learning, but emotionally, to pick up on, you know, their body language and all these things, and then to be able to kind of meet them where they're at and build relationships, and then to be able to maintain those relationships throughout the year. And now that I'm no longer in the classroom, and now that we have this women's Bible study, I have all these women in my life, which is like, they're not my students, but they're my friends, but God has given me this overwhelming gift. I feel like all the time, I'm like, how can I don't know. I can seem to manage all my different friends and their personalities and find time and ways to connect with them. And I know that not everybody does that. And so I do know that that has got to be some sort of spiritual gift, that God is somehow equipping me to A, think of them whenever they need it, and B, just be available to be there for them when they need somebody to talk to or pray for them, or just to be a shoulder to lean on. And so I do recognize that that is a God-given gift. And I don't want to squander that away, because he gave it to me for a reason. And so I take that really seriously, to be able to shine that light for him.
Yeah, because it just doesn't come natural to everybody. And I think too, like we had talked, God will give you a gift right on the spot. It might be something that he's been cultivating in you for a long time. You might think that even your work, which I think Laurel, you've experienced, as you said, you used to be a teacher. And now it's like you're able in your Bible studies and this podcast to take that experience that you probably thought, well, this is going to be my career forever. But I really yep. think God was like, you're going to have this experience because I'm going to use it for my glory, for the kingdom of God. And you're going to be able to teach, you know, love and the fruits of the spirit and scripture and things like that, which is, you know, priceless. So you just never know.
It's you never know.
When you have that personal relationship, these things get revealed to you and you get those, aha, I didn't know, but now I do. And God's funny like that. It's not like we get so used to instant gratification in this world.
Yes.
With technology. I mean, even with like, you know, and back in the day when I was growing up, if my mom ordered something through like a catalog, remember it would take yes. 3 months for it to ship out to you. Yes. Can you imagine? And I think
Amazon ruined us. He's,
yes. He doesn't reveal it all at once. There we go through life and then we realize like God was there. God was there. God was shaping me. God did this to lead me here. It's not like we get from point A to Z right away. We got to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, all those things. So, and I'm going to end mine at 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. All glory to God. I love that. That was the yes. perfect scripture to end on. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Hoo-wee. Good work, Jesus sister.
Good work. Thank you. I love you.
They love you. Thank you for being here with us today to our Jesus brothers and sisters. Just know that sometimes, you know, as you're stepping out and walking in your talent, sometimes we're going to have to surrender things. But if we are surrendering those things to live in God's will and to walk in his calling for us, we will be blessed. And we know that that scripture's told us that today. So I just wish you all many blessings. As always, if you need prayer requests, please message us. We are here to pray for each other. And, you know, this is all about lifting each other up and growing in the mm-hmm. word together. So we just will be praying for all of our listeners, and we just ask that you stay connected with us and go out there and live in your talents, friends. Live in your talents.
Yeah, share those gifts. And before we go, my Jesus sister, what is your Jesus jam?
Oh, I forgot my Jesus jam. You go first. I got, okay. Don't worry, I got all
my
kinds
Jesus
of...
jam.
Okay, and go ahead.
I'm going to be honest. I'm sharing this just because it's been in my head all day, and I don't know if it has anything, you know, usually I try and correlate my song choice with like the topic, but I've just had Gyra, or is
oh,
it Gyra?
Yeah.
Elevation Worship in Maverick City. I just love that song. I just love it. So it's been in my head all day.
Totally one of my all-time Jesus jams. Like if I need to feel the Holy Spirit and I just want to feel like connected to God, if I put that on, like it's amazing. That's a great one. Okay, so
I like that it says it doesn't take a trophy to make you proud.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll never be more loved than I am right now. And I love that. Like we don't have to prove it. Like we do have these gifts, but we can just share them knowing that God loves us, and we don't have to come with all of our accolades. And it's just for the love of the Lord and the love of people that we want to share what's the gift that's been given to us.
I love it. I remember when I was first really, I still had my baby Jesus legs on, and I was really digging back into the word for the first time. I remember I didn't really know how to pronounce Gyra, and I was like, how do we say that? And everyone's like, it's Gyra. I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. And now, like, we have this song. It's like, well, if you ever forget, now you have a whole song about it. And I just, it's such a beautiful, It's just a beautiful song. It's just such a beautiful song.
It is.
Okay, so this has been my Jesus jam for a while. This was one of my Jesus jams while we were taking a break. And I believe it's an older song. And I don't know if they remade it or I don't know if I just discovered it. It could be any of those things. It's called Give Me Jesus. It's by The Upper Room. It's just so
beautiful. That one's a good one. You shared that.
It's just so beautiful. Wait, you've shared that before?
No, you shared that with me.
Oh, okay. I was like personally. Oh, geez, did I just double share?
No.
Okay, good. All right.
No. You shared that with me. I'm like, that's a good, I was like, ooh, I like that one. That's a good
okay,
one.
Good.
You've shared that to me through our Apple Music or whatever.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's just like, give me Jesus. Like, what else can you ask for? Just give me Jesus. Like, it is so beautiful. I love it.
Mm. Yes. Well, I pray that God, that we all get Jesus, we all continue to get Jesus, and that everybody is just blessed by this message. I know I was blessed by my Jesus sister today.
Yes. Same to you.
I love you. I love this journey with you. I love watching each other grow and
yes.
You know, what you're doing in your life. I think it's beautiful and it's edifying the Lord because I can see him working in your life. And then it makes others want to, you know, what's going on over there? I need a touch of that.
Yeah. So, I love it. Well, you keep doing your amazing things that you're doing over there, Allie. You just keep preaching, girl. You keep preaching. And I will be praying for you. And I love you.
I will be praying for you and everybody else.
All right. Until next time, be blessed.
Be blessed. Amen.